Well, praise the Lord. Welcome back to Good News from a Far Country. And great to have you on board this morning. And open your Bible up, if you will. And look with me in, I guess, Joshua chapter 3 and part 2. And I was hoping to get this message in one shot, and that just didn't work out. Lord had other designs. But if you remember last week, talking about end times, talking about where we are, if you remember, I likened it unto if there was a map, if you were in a large area with a lot of sights to see and all that, and you wanted to know where you were, you thank God when you see that little red circle that says you are here. It's your compass. It lets you know right where you are. And last week we looked at Joshua in verse 4, the end of verse 4 in chapter 3. It says, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And we looked at the fact that for that Jew, they were finally going to cross over Jordan into Canaan land. It would be the first of three times that God would dry up the River Jordan. The next time he'd do it was with Elijah. And the third time he'd do it was with Elijah's student, his progeny, if you will, Elisha. But here's the first time with the whole nation of Israel. They've come out of slavery and servitude and sojourning, and they're about to enter a land of rest, repose, and reconciliation with their God. They're about to go to the land that flows with milk and honey, but they've never passed this way heretofore. And I likened it unto you and I, and that map again where you are here and you and I are on the brink of our Jordan. It's imminent. The dark days show us that we are closer now. Our salvation is closer today than when we have believed. We are getting ready. God is getting ready to wrap this thing up. And I wanted to show you three things out of the scriptures that show us right where we are today and prove that we are closer now than we've ever been. And the fact that the church of a whole, we have 2,000 years of church history. We have seven letters to seven churches in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 3, that are not only seven literal letters to seven literal churches, but they are also a picture of the church age, the 2,000 years of church history. And ours is Laodicea. And it's in our age where we've seen the apostasy ramp up. It's our age where the Lord will gather his bride and then begin the tribulation and all those prophetic events to follow against that Jew, ending with a reconciliation with that Jew in that millennial reign of Jesus Christ before the renovation of earth by fire. And it includes the judgment seat of Jesus Christ for the saved, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and also the great white throne judgment where this world and those tribulational saints will go through. But here we are, and we're on the brink, and we can see the waters rushing through. And what a picture it is, as the Milky Way by astronomers is often called the river in the sky. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes off his throne and meets us in the air, he will escort us through that river, a picture of Jordan, through that river in the sky as we go to the place that he's prepared for you and I, New Jerusalem. And what a blessing. But here we are today, July 2020, we stand at the brink, ready to cross over our Jordan. And we saw some things that show us how close we are. The fact that the church age and all those 2,000 years had never been to where you and I are today. And last week I showed you one of the main points, something that's already happened, and that's that we are literally in a post-Christian era in this world. Even the Jews, even Jerusalem, has mirrored us. Amen. Israel and Jerusalem, which is God's compass, and if you want to know anything about prophecy and where we are, you just keep your eye on Jerusalem, because that's where God's eye is, and you see that Israel is as wicked today as the world. Tel Aviv today, the second most wicked place on planet earth with regards to the sodomites and the devils of the world encamping right there. You see Israel as a secular nation more than a spiritual one, just like America. We are in a post-Christian era. And I showed you last week where judgment will begin at the house of the Lord, amen, the house of God, according to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17, amen. And we saw where it's the fault of the pastors in the pulpit. Make no mistake about it. Remember Harry Truman, he had a sign on his desk that said, "The buck stops here." Make no mistake about it, pastor, if you're listening this morning, the blame is going to fall at your feet. But Christian, you listening this morning, you laity, you that sit in the pews, you are not going to escape the judgment of God either, because my people love to have it so, according to Jeremiah 5 and verse 30 and 31. You've allowed the pastor to have his pastoral authority. You've allowed the pastor to steal the Bible from you. You've allowed that pastor to not preach the things he ought to be preaching in this time. In fact, many of you have called a pastor and heaped them to yourselves teachers, having itching ears, because you don't want sound doctrine. You don't want the conviction of preaching today. And in reality, what you've done is you've helped to prepare the way for Antichrist. Make no mistake about it. And that leads me to my second point with regards to my message, Uncharted Territory, Part 2. The preparation for Antichrist. That's where we are today. You and I, as born-again Christians, are literally, if you will, watching the stage being built. My son recently got married, and it was a traditional marriage in that, you know, the bride and her parents take care of the, you know, festivities and all that. So Kathy and I, my wife and I, we felt helpless in a sense, especially with the COVID. He got married during the COVID mess, and it was in upper state New York. And you know how much of a disaster Ground Zero was, New York City. And yeah, that wicked as hell mass murderer, Andrew Cuomo, down there delegating and bloodthirsty with his newfound powers and all that. And there wasn't much my wife and I could do to help. And even when we got down there a couple days before the wedding, we basically could only sit idly by and help a little bit, help intermittently. But we sat there and watched the preparations for the wedding, and everybody had a place and everybody was doing something. And it was almost surreal as we were, you know, would turn around and watch this happening. And it's a picture, if you will, of what's happening today. Here's the Christian, and he looks around, and the world is ready to receive Antichrist, and the Pope, the false prophet of Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20, amen, whose days now are literally spent enlarging his Roman Catholic tent in one of the biggest ecumenical movements we've ever seen. We are seeing or witnessing the stage being built and being prepared for Antichrist, who the Bible says will be one of the great orators of all time. You and I are witnessing the stage being set. Nothing is preparing a people for their Savior like globalism, or as the Christians call it, the one world government, which will pave the way for the one world religion, which will look for one leader, and his name, Antichrist, son of perdition, the man of sin who's walking and on this earth and living and breathing right now. And pretty soon the devil is going to enter into him. The stage is being built. And you and I as Christians, how do you not see it? Are your eyes closed this morning? Listen, if anything, if there's one thing COVID-19 should have showed you and me, it's how close we are with the Christians in absolute panic and fear, with the pastors abdicating their pulpits and their churches during that time. And also with the world. You saw messages coming from the WHO, the World Health Organization, that contradicted the messages from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, in America, amen. You saw those messages conflicting with Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, and even with President Trump, amen. You didn't have a coherent message on COVID-19. Should we use a ventilator? Should we not use a ventilator? Is the malaria drug safe? Is it not safe? I mean, just unbelievable. Aspirin, no aspirin, and you know, all the false messages, 6 feet, 3 feet, you know, aspiration, masked versus no mask. I mean, there wasn't a coherent message during COVID-19. You couldn't figure the thing out. Millions and millions were going to die, and it turns out barely 100,000 died, and now we know that that number was a lie, and it's at least 50%, if not less, that actually died from COVID. Yes, folks, it turns out that this whole panic and this whole plandemic and panicdemic, it turned out to be nothing more than the seasonal flu, or what the seasonal cold or pneumonia might cause in the death toll. And we looked, and you could see as a Christian, if you paid attention, that the world was looking for a voice of authority. The world was looking for somebody to come on the stage and just tell them about this thing. Did you see it? And it was a picture for you and I that this world is ready. If one man had come on the world stage and calmed the world down and spoken by flatteries, as it's prophesied the Antichrist will do, and brought in a false sense of security and peace and all that, and worked signs and wonders and miracles and brought the cure in, the world would have worshipped this man and picked him up and ushered him into control. He will astound with his leadership, his unity and false peace. And one of the obvious signs of preparation once again comes not from the world, but from the church, from the Christian. From the Christian, where the gospel is now a social one, where you have organizations like the Southern Baptist Church, one of the biggest Baptist organizations in the world, saying that we must bow to these social concerns with regards to Black Lives Matter, and that we must pay reparations. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous today, what's going on in this wicked world. You have, as I alluded to last week, the sin of the preaching of easy believerism, where you have generations of people now that were saved, so to speak, quote unquote, if they were really saved, by the way, with a milquetoast gospel, with a gospelist gospel. You have the gospel being preached today without hell. You have the gospel being preached today even without Jesus Christ himself. You have the gospel today being preached without the resurrection. How you can preach a gospel without the resurrection, I'll never know. How you can preach the gospel without sin, without hell, without repentance, without Jesus Christ, I'll never know. But you have generations of people today brought up on milquetoast easy believerism. They were saved to heaven instead of saved from hell. And they're not thankful. They're an unthankful people today. And they were saved as by fire. And they took that salvation as an insurance policy, put it in their pocket, and went on to live a wicked and unsanctified life for Jesus Christ. And you see, once again, the church is playing the role in the preparations for the Antichrist. Forget the world today and put it on the church today. The church is the one aiding in these preparations. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 15, Jesus Christ excoriating the Pharisees, says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you can pass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." And that's the scourge of easy believerism. That's what I've seen easy believerism do today. The church is a joke today. I don't blame people for not going to church. The church is a joke. The pastors are a joke today. No hellfire and brimstone preaching. They got no bark. Their pulpits aren't aflame with fire. They're not stirring up the saints. They're not preaching to bring saints to a decision. There's no conviction. Why? Because they're worried about an offering. They're worried about the stinking rotten money going in the plate. They're worried about their legacy. They're worried about their standing in the community. They don't want to stick their neck out for nothing. They don't want to be controversial. Well, neither do I. But I'll tell you what, when you take a stand for Jesus Christ, when you go out on the street and you preach, When you stick your neck out for Jesus Christ, just by virtue, when you take a stand on the King James Bible, being the inerrant, infallible, Holy Spirit-inspired, fulfilled words of God, preserved just as he said in Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, you're controversial. You take a stand that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, you'll be controversial. You take a stand that there's a literal hell, you'll be controversial. And yet the church doesn't want to be that today. Church wants to be like the world today. The church has brought the world's ways in. The churches today are set up as corporate structures, just like the world. The church today has brought in the worldly music and thinly veiled it with a form of godliness, with Christian contemporary garbage. It's trash music. Stop listening to it. It leads to a life of sin. It leads to a life of a scant Christian. Verse 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. But again, what's the pastor worried about? He's worried about his tithe. He's worried about the take, the weekly take, the monthly take. He's worried about the building project for a building that soon Antichrist will inhabit. And so he omits doctrine. He omits truth. He omits Bible authority. Why? He doesn't want to step on anybody's toes. He doesn't want to step on anybody's toes. The false hireling preachers of today are aiding the false prophet in his preparation. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. That's their destruction, the ways to kill, the ways to injure, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Hey, Christian, you've been played by some of your pastors. You've been played and you don't even know it. Why? Because my people love to have it so. Because my people love to have it so. And so just as you take a puppy when he urinates on the floor and you wipe his nose in it to teach him not to do that, you know what God's doing with you? He's letting you sit in your filth this morning. You don't want to leave. You don't want to leave that church? That church that ain't doing nothing for Jesus Christ? That pastor that ain't taught you nothing in 10 years? You know what he says? Stay in it. And he rubs your nose in it. Yeah, it's the church is making the preparation. The New Testament church, Christian, us, Laodicea, put it on us. Again, judgment must begin at the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17. It's going to happen right here. The preparations, the stage is being built. Yeah, the Pope is doing his thing. The false prophet's doing his thing. Yep, the world's doing their thing. No doubt about it. They're ready to receive them. But make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. The church has aided in these preparations. We've helped to build the stage. And you see it today. Lastly, this morning, the thing that is yet future, the two things that are done as we sit at the brink of our Jordan, waiting for our salvation to be complete, waiting for us to go to New Jerusalem, as we sit there, as we realize that the church as a whole, the history of the church has not passed this way heretofore, even though Paul wanted to be the one to go in the rapture, amen, even though your grandparents before you wanted to go in the rapture and thought it would happen, it will be you, to whom much is given of him shall much be required. To you, God has enabled you. God has given you the honor, the responsibility, the distinction tonight, this morning, this afternoon, to be the one that will close out the church age. And then you have the preparation for the Antichrist that I just talked about. But the one I want to talk about in closing, the one that's yet future, is the rapture. Now we call it rapture. I know rapture's not in the Bible, but it's a lot easier to use the word rapture than it is to talk about our meeting with our Savior in the air and in the clouds and all that. And that's what it is. It's doctrinal. And the rapture is going to occur. And this one is the very near future. Dare I say imminent. I remember in the 90s when books were being written in the late 80s, 88 Reasons Why the Lord's Coming in 1988, and all these false books that were written by false prophets there, and it was stirred up, and everybody thought the Lord was coming back in the 90s. And I remember my pastor preaching, and he said, you know, we ought not to use the word imminent. There's still some prophecy there yet to be unfulfilled there. And although we're close and we've never been closer than we are now, it's not imminent. But folks, I'm telling you right now, there's no doubt in my mind. I'm fully convicted, fully convinced this morning that the word imminent can be used with regards to the rapture. We're definitely not getting out of this decade. There's no way I'm going to be standing in my pulpit on December 31st, 2029. I just don't see it. You can see this world. 2020 has been an amazing, amazing year with Bible prophecy and the world literally being ready to receive their God. And I have one question for you, Christian. I have one question for you right now, and I want you to think about it. Amos chapter 4, verse 12, are you prepared to meet your God? Amen. You say, I'm saved, preacher. I didn't ask you if you were saved. I'm assuming most of you listening to me are saved. I'm asking you, Christian, are you prepared to meet your God? Is there any unfinished business with God this morning? You got any sin in your life this morning? Amen. Where are you? Where are you in that? Amen. Let me ask you something. You got any blood on your hands, Christian? You got any blood on your hands? You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about, listen, you got any family out there, any friends out there, any co-workers out there that you've yet not witnessed to? That Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Is that you, Christian? Is that you, Christian, this afternoon? Are you ready? Are you prepared to meet your God? Oh, we sing the songs, the sweet songs of Zion. Amen. Sweet Beulah land, marching to Zion. Onward, Christian soldiers, I'll fly away. Oh, we love the songs of Zion. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Are you prepared for it? It's easy to talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? I'm serious. We're that close to meeting our Savior. Are you prepared to meet your God? Are you? Amen. You got sin in your life? You better get rid of it. James chapter 1 and verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Are you prepared? And maybe you're listening this morning and you're not born again. Well, you're not prepared to meet the Lord. Because when that rapture occurs, if you're not born again, you miss out. You're going to hell. Oh, you got a scant chance in the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. You got a scant chance that you might get in there, but it's likely that you won't. Are you prepared to meet your God? Believe on the name of the Son of God, and thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. Amen. Are you a sinner? Repent. Amen. And trust Jesus Christ. He'll save you from hell. And you'll never die because he never died because he resurrected. Are you prepared to meet your God, Christian? He's coming soon. It's imminent. Lord bless you. And might you be a blessing to him.